Orient the show a little bit towards crime fighting. But I asked Bobby to get a guest here on this Dulcimer Crime Wave thing here, and he just he screwed the pooch. He was not able to do it.
I'm sure the Torrington police would be more than cooperative.
Well, here's the thing. Lori Bayus, it may be the Torrington police, but also I believe Chris Morano has now formed the new musical
Dulcimer unit.
The Musical Instrument Crimes Unit, MICU.
It's a new Law and Order spinoff.
Exactly. It's a Law and Order, yeah. Law and Order MICU. And they just posted up
in Torrington, the special squad.
Right. They just posted up a zither chop shop the other day. So this may not be confined to the Torrington police. It could be bigger than that. But, okay, Lori Bayus, I think is her name. She was arrested February 16th. I don't know why we're just getting around to reporting it now. But
you know, I have a question.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead. I don't want to interrupt
Winchester
you,
police in charge of the first-degree larceny.
Winchester police.
Yeah, that's Winchester and Winstead are basically the same thing.
Well, yeah, but I mean...
Allegedly stealing from her employer Folk Craft Instruments on Wheeler Street in Winstead. She's at liberty after posting a $25,000 bond, so she could come charging in here at any minute.
Here's the question.
Brandishing a mandolin.
Why would people be going around stealing dulcimers?
Well,
is there a big dulcimer market?
Absolutely.
Black market for dulcimers?
Absolutely. If you can buy a hot dulcimer. David Marsh, the owner of Folk Craft Instruments, told police some of his inventory was missing. Thought it was being sold on the internet. He told police he saw new Folk Craft brand dulcimers that sell in his shop for between $350 and $750 being sold by the screen name Brittany Brat on eBay for $140. A dulcimer was, explains what a dulcimer is, I think. Fingerboards were selling for $20. Nickel-plated hitch pins with Grove strings were selling for $5. You know what a nickel-plated hitch pin with Grove strings would cost ordinarily? Quite a bit more. Two sets of dulcimer open geared tuners with purloined buttons and screws selling for $8.
You know, we may be in a roundabout way semi-responsible for some of this.
But then we had
Thomasine Levy in here, and she's playing the dulcimer, so I'm sure it's catching on now. So it's probably part of that.
The goths in particular love them. Goth kids have dulcimers. So I think also. What the hell
is this?
Get them out of here. Where's something to throw? There's
a bunch of kids in the lobby with Mikey C.
Yeah.
Why are you?
We don't know who they are.
Why are you encouraging this?
I don't know. I'll throw something in. Hold on.
Yeah.
Well, they're cleaning that
spot. They're laughing. They're being just crazy.
Just kidding. go away.
Drill a Kleenex box at the window and they go, just kidding, go away.
The kid flinched, though. I like that. All right.
My God.
Here's the bad part.
But look. Look where these kids are going. They're going to... The only thing that could be worse...
Get those snotty-nosed little kids out of the control room. Every single one of them is a walking flu epidemic. You know that, right? The kid right behind you definitely has bird flu. I think we should quarantine the control room. All right, we have a Cub Scout troop visiting. That's what they are, right? They're a Cub Scout troop? Yeah. Either that or they're kids with very strange clothing preferences.
Anyway.
All right, so to return to the dulcimer crime wave here.
Yeah.
This is the exciting part in terms of the TV show, in terms of, like, cops, is when they kick down the door of the illegal dulcimer chop shop, you know, and some guy with a butt crack, you know, tries to climb out the window and get down on the street.
No. Get down on the ground.
They reported, they hit the place back in November. I don't know why we're just catching up with this story. They hit the place back in November. They found a dulcimer on the kitchen table. I'm sure there's some other explanation for it, though. You know, we just had the Weavers over. A hammer dulcimer. The Weavers came over for dinner. The hammer dulcimer on the stand. My brother-in-law is one of the new Christie minstrels, actually. It's his dulcimer, okay? So step off. Anyway, it just goes on and on. I love the idea. And then it says, okay, listen to this. So they go in there and they find dulcimers and dulcimer kits and dulcimer kit nut and bridge devices.
Uh-oh.
Which are not necessarily used on dulcimers, apparently. But tuning machines, other accessories for the instruments were also seized. So, and then they also seized in the same sweep a number of fireworks, including, and this is where Tracy Kennedy's reporting skills do come out. She knows which fireworks they got. Cave busters, cherry bomb fireworks, rocket assortments, and Roman candles. Now, I don't know whether this is going to be used with the Dulcimers in some bizarre...
Perhaps the 4th of July Dulcimer concert with fireworks.
Satanists love to do that.
Yeah.
The Satanists love that. Dulcimer music and fireworks. So anyway, this is my favorite crime story today. I don't have
well,
much
else. Well, it's a good one because...
But we are setting up a special 1-800 number here for you to report Dulcimer
right.
crimes.
And, like John Walsh.
Or if you see
America's
if you see
most
suspicious
wanted.
Dulcimer activity
right.
in your neighborhood, we'd like you to call us right
yeah.
now. Exactly. Like John Walsh. Because we'd like to help, and certainly it's your civic duty. We don't want to have this...
you can remain anonymous.
Right.
Yeah.
If it were to... It's like the... It's, you don't want a Dulcimer to fall into the wrong hands, is what I'm saying.
I think it could be tragic.
I wonder if I have anything else to say about this. I guess apparently not. Okay, that's...
I find it to be rather humorous.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to do open phones today about a whole bunch of stuff. So... Embarrassing news for the station. You just heard the Iditarod results, but Diane Smith's dog, Chester, thrown out of Iditarod after testing positive for steroids.
No!
Crystal meth, lithium, clenbuterol, a chemical used to make horses and cattle bigger.
And instant breakfast.
Boldenone, and a product that is used only as an anticonvulsive for pandas. It's time for Sport d'Antoine, the very French sports discussion. Thank you, Mr. Ambrosio.
Oui.
Monsieur Benzema, so.
Oui, get found in a mare.
Poor Chester.
Poor Chester.
He's got a lot of problems.
That's
he's
off.
Like the River Phoenix right now of dogs. He's just the success is not working.
Poor thing.
Perhaps
Mr. Ambrosio.
All right, let's get to it because we won't do it for a couple days.
Dear Mr. Ambrosio,
yes.
This comes from Michael in Tucson, Arizona.
Oh, Tucson, Arizona. What a fine sight to see.
If we were
lost my Lord in a flatbed Ford.
Dear Mr. Ambrosio, if I were lost in the desert, would it be in fact possible to cut open a cactus and find water that I could safely drink and stay alive?
Top half of the cactus is flowing.
Mm-hmm.
With water. If you take off the top half and then even the top quarter, you can stay alive for weeks. The problem is keeping the water in liquid fashion by the time it gets out of the cacti into your glass. Once the water inside the cactus hits the atmosphere, in most cases, it evaporates and dissipates. Remember that. If it evaporates and dissipates,
you must quit.
Fill in the rest.
There's a whole bunch of steps yet to come that they have to go through.
Now, what's your one of the things that gets argued here, one of the ways that this has been pushed is that they say, look, we've developed a sophistication where we can do this almost surgically. Well, we can do it so that it only actually affects 2,000 out of 1.5 million acres. What's your answer to that?
It's certainly not true.
Hmm.
First of all, they don't count all of the facilities in their 2,000 acres. Second of all, that 2,000 acres is a grid that extends across the entirety of the whole 1.5 million acres at stake here, which then divides up and fractures that whole area. So that the habitat is divided up so it's no longer useful to the caribou or the musk oxen or the polar bears or the hundreds of thousands of migratory birds or whatever species we might be speaking of. They like to talk about how they're going to use ice roads. Well, there's not enough water there. They like to say, well, you know, they won't be building roads. Well, they're going to have permanent roads because of that lack of water. To do that, they'll have gravel mines. They'll be digging up gravel out of the rivers. When they get all done, it's going to look a lot like the existing Prudhoe Bay oil complex, which is made up of oil production plants, gas processing facilities, seawater treatment and power plants, gravel mines, drill pads, 500 miles of roads, 1,800 miles of pipeline, exploration and production wells, housing complexes, garages, repair shops. You know, it's a major industrial complex that extends, you know, over 100 miles east-west and several dozen miles north-south. This is hardly anything you can call a national wildlife refuge mm-hmm. when they get all that put in place. And so all this is a smokescreen.
What do you say to people? I mean, as my partner pointed out earlier today, this is probably significant that this legislation passed right at a time when gas prices are going up, and probably some of these politicians feel that for their constituents, the idea of making gas cheaper or just accessing more oil is an attractive one right now. What's your answer to that?
Well, this will have no effect on the price of gasoline. Because oil is on a world market, and the amount of oil that could conceivably be produced out of the Arctic refuge would not affect the world price of oil in any significant way whatsoever. In fact, it's not going to affect our supply really in a significant way. The best amounts projected that could be produced are way significantly less than a year's supply of U.S. Demand. This is all for, you know, and ripping up this great last wilderness and a significant habitat for all these wild creatures. The U.S. Uses 25% of the world's production of oil, and we only have 3% of the world's known reserves. There is no way we can produce our way out of this problem, out of imports, by producing more oil. We have to go to alternatives. We have to go to efficiency and other forms of energy. And the best thing to do is to get on it now. The Arctic Refuge, if they do develop it, will not produce any oil whatsoever for at least 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And where if we went into serious efficiency with automobiles, we could produce 10 times as much oil by savings with automobiles by using technology that is on the shelf today that we could implement a lot faster than going ahead and trying to build the oil field in the Arctic Refuge.
Chuck, we're going to have to go, but I think you've made your point, and okay. We'll be taking calls on this. We're just talking to Chuck Clusen from the Natural Resources Defense Council. Thank you for being with us.
And if people would like to know more, they can go to nrdc.org.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, remind me to get back to the whole gas pump thing. Another thing I wanted to point out today is I get this press release saying about this hospitality training workshops and familiarization bus tours of Hartford.
What?
A new ongoing customer service training initiative will debut in April to help workers in the Hartford area's hospitality industry provide better service to visitors. Sponsored by the Greater Hartford Convention and Visitors Bureau in cooperation with the Hartford Hospitality Task Force, this new project will feature free workshops with specific advice on how better to serve customers and enhance their visits.
Wouldn't you have to get some customers first?
Also included will be familiarization bus tours of Hartford. FAM, they call it the FAM bus. The familiarization bus tours.
Right, yes, yeah.
Coordinated by the Central Regional Tourism District to provide workers with information about the local attractions, restaurants, and amenities. I've devised a list of helpful phrases, handy phrases for these people to use. Good afternoon. Would you care to purchase some of our native crack? Hello. It might enrich your understanding of our city to know that the drunken man over there was once our mayor. Hi. You might find this interesting. The man who commissioned this huge development is in prison. Hey, puke face, you're blocking the intersection. But you will find the old state house a breathtaking trip into our distant past. Little things to talk.
Oh, that's great.
Little things you could say.
You're talking about New England's rising star, you know.
I haven't actually been asked to participate in these workshops. I've been generating some ideas for them anyway.
Well, that's really nice of you.
Yeah.
I think that shows extreme civic-mindedness.
Right. So anyway, we've got all of that and more stuff coming up here. As I said, we got... the role in sentencing memorandum, and it, one of the things that kind of emerges here is the degree to which the U.S. Attorney's Office is completely sick of this guy and no longer feels any need to kind of mask that fact. And just for example, at one point, they're talking about the argument, it's called the PSR, but it's an argument submitted basically by the governor and his attorney for that they're arguing for a reduction, obviously, in sentence. They write that this memorandum, quote, this is the U.S. attorney, Nora Dennehy, or whoever prepared this memorandum, writes that this governor's document, quote, rather shockingly notes, first of all, I have to go back up to the top here, I'm reading from a footnote. They write, the defendant's children are healthy and either in college, live with Roland's former spouse. The defendant does not have any responsibility to care for elderly parents. The defendant and his wife currently live in a very comfortable upper middle class home in West Hartford at a reduced rent. They enjoy a comfortable lifestyle by virtually any standard. Now, at this point, there's a footnote. And you go down to the footnote, and they say that Roland's document, quote, rather shockingly notes that, quote, the house is nice by most standards, but is clearly below the standard to which this family has become accustomed. And then the U.S. attorney writes, to the extent that this is a reference to the fact the defendant is no longer living in the governor's mansion with all of its taxpayer-funded benefits, the document should also note that this change in circumstances is due exclusively to the defendant's numerous ethical breaches and criminal conduct. So, you can see that. First of all, they've kind of recovered their sense of humor about all this, I mean, the prosecutors, and they're sick of him. They're sick of him, and... They almost can't even stand to think of him. This is a very interesting document. Now, I have to say that it's not clear to me. I mean, I had a moment to think about this anyway. We just got this document a very short time ago.
The Hartford Whalers.
Is that a major misconduct, or how does that work?
Well, I don't know. I just missed the team, and I wish they were still here, and I thought it was bad for the state.
Yeah.
And you should need more to keep them in his state. About all I got to say.
Okay.
All right, John. This song should be buried somewhere.
John?
Buried.
John, that was over a long time ago. And yeah. How about the cancellation of Mannix? Are you still upset about that as well?
We're not sure Roland had anything to do with Mannix.
No, but I'm just thinking, people who are still upset about the Whalers, like... God. I mean,
we didn't get the Patriots either. And that stadium, that lovely stadium that was being proposed.
I mean, why that would come up in connection with this man who's committed crimes against the people of Connecticut? Well, never mind. You can't do anything with these Whaler people. You just can't. Anyway, our numbers are 522 WTIC. And we really didn't.
Je ne fume plus. Je n'ai même plus d'histoire.
Well, Sammy Sosa tell the congressional committee today, I am clean. Well, that's very nice, but do you take steroids? It's time for Sport Natois, the very French sports discussion segment of Monsieur Arnold Dean, Monsieur Bruce Stevens, and myself, Louis Gascon de la Mer.
At least Sammy said something.
He's now in Congress and was one of the questioners today. He said, in the time when I played, and I hate these things, you know, back when I played or back when I went to school, but he was right about this. He said players did not get better as they got older.
No.
There's a natural deterioration. But all of a sudden, Mark McGwire became sensational. Remember him in that All-Star game, right. The home run competition, where everything they threw to the plate, he hit 500 feet.
When Jim Money played, he did test positive for moxie on several occasions.
Is that a chocolate-flavored soda?
No.
Or is that was knee-high?
Yeah. Never had moxie?
Never had moxie.
Awful. Is it really?
Yeah, I like Moxie.
You do?
I never had it. I like the real Moxie. Now, there's like some company bought Moxie and they put it out now and it doesn't taste like anything. I liked it when it was really bad tasting. Yeah.
Oh.
My grandmother. It's like a New England old lady kind of thing. And
which
I
one did
like
Yogi do commercials for? Was that
Ted Williams was the Moxie guy. Williams licensed his image in every possible way.
No, I think that was a New England thing.
It was a New England thing.
Ted Williams, did he have Bud Levitt with him when he was doing that, too? Bread commercials.
Not that this has anything to do with sports, really, but except for the Ted Williams part of it. But Moxie, at its prime, outsold Coke and Pepsi and everything nationally. Actually, it was.
Excellent as a paint remover, I might add.
This would have been sort of 1930s, maybe.
Well, what's Congress doing with this thing anyway?
What they were really attempting to do this time is just sort of shame all the participants, which is, I think in some ways, it's not a bad thing to grab the union guys and Selig and say, you know what, you can lie to each other all you want, and you can lie maybe to your immediate constituency, but, I mean, anybody can look at this thing and say, the NFL is not exactly the age of Pericles or something. I mean, if the NFL can have a tougher steroid policy than you are, and then the NFL is one of the most degenerate institutions of the world, but they make you guys look bad.
Well, absolutely, that's the case. The NFL, all the bad things we say about it, is a well-run organization because they have enough control so that they can talk with the union. I think both sides are very reasonable in their discussions and negotiations. We still don't have anybody wavering at all in the hockey strike.
I think, for example, the NFL limiting each franchise to 2 Nebraska rapists. That's the kind of thing where, they came down hard and said, you can't have an infinite number of rapists from the University of Nebraska. 2 is the maximum.
That's great. And then turn your sights on Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah, pick up the extras from there. Yeah.